All things are lawful for me, But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us by his own power. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that unites himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is committed outside the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's.
Peace be unto thee that readeth.
And with thy spirit,
with
alleluia in the sixth tone.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
He that dwelleth in the help of the Most High shall abide in the shelter of the God of heaven.
Unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I will go unto my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And as he arose and came unto his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it upon him, and put a ring upon his hand, and shoes upon his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and now he is found.
So was living, was found
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not much today is done unconditionally. More often than not, people do things and they sort of tell you that they're going to agree to do them if this or if that, if you give them enough money, if you give them food, if you give them a pension, all these things. And so often, everything that we do on condition of something else. So we rarely ever give entirely of ourselves. The prodigal son's father in the parable gives totally of himself, without condition. He does not expect anything in return for his love. He simply gives. He is simply joyful in the giving of his love. And so the father in the parable is an extraordinary example to us. The Saviour is telling us that the love of God is actually like this. That the love of God towards us is unconditional, not conditional. In the medieval Western Church, things got out of perspective, and things were declared to be true that were not true. For the medieval Western Church had a view that if you did such and such a thing, if you went on such and such a pilgrimage, visited such and such a relic, did so many Hail Marys, or whatever, that God would listen to your prayer and bestow his love upon you. Yet God's love is unconditional. God's love is complete and total. So Luther later began to think that things were wrong in the Western Church. And he produced another doctrine. And his doctrine was justification by faith alone. And he ignored the fact that actually the works, those things that are commended in the letter of St. James, are a sign of our unconditional response to the love of God. So those teachings of Luther again put things out of perspective. Worse still is Calvin. For Calvin, the love of God is only bestowed upon those who are the chosen. They are the elect. They are the ones only who are called into his presence. And many, many, many people in God's creation do not receive the love or the redemption of Christ. So, in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, there were wrong perspectives about the faith. And they did not come to terms with what our Saviour is saying in this parable. Does the prodigal son deserve the love of his father? Does the prodigal son deserve all that his father bestows upon him when he returns to his household? The older brother didn't think so. The older brother thought that there should be some kind of punishment, some kind of retribution for the wastefulness of the prodigal son. But the father had no such view. The father was just overjoyed with delight, overjoyed with love, that his son, who he thought was so far away that he would even think that he was possibly even dead, had come back to a loving and wonderful relationship with him. So the father's love is completely unconditional. And no matter how far the prodigal son has moved away, the love of God is bestowed richly upon him as he returns. Notice also the love that the father has for his oldest son. He says to the oldest son, who judges his younger brother, "All that I have is thine." He is generous and loving to both the older son and the younger son. He gives all that he can in total and complete love. What are we to learn from this? We are to learn that our response to God is not conditional. It should be unconditional. God's love to us is unconditional. He does not expect us to do this, that, or the other in order for him to love us. He loves us because he loves us. But we should love one another because we love one another. We should live a life of giving ourselves to one another as God constantly gives himself to us. For if not, we have forgotten the lesson of the prodigal son. For when the prodigal son steps back into the presence of his loving father, he is restored, he is loved, he is caressed, he is given such a gentle and loving response. So when we return, when we come back into God's presence from all the busyness and all the things that we do which take us away from God, know that his love is total. Know that his love is unconditional. Know that he will caress you, that God himself will fall upon your neck and kiss you, as the Saviour says in this parable. It takes courage to be like the prodigal son, for he thought he was going to be punished. He thought he was not going to receive love. How surprised he must have been. How shocked that he received such love from his father. And so when we return to God time and time and time again, when we come back into his loving presence time and time and time again, let us remember that the love that God has for us is not based on what we're like, but is based on his essence, which is to love his creation. And when we step back into that relationship, then indeed we will feel his unconditional love. May God bless us and keep us as we prepare ourselves to come closer to Great Lent, and as we prepare ourselves to come more constantly into the presence of the unconditional love of our Father. Amen.